Вие сте с SBS на български. Намерете още страхотни новини на sbs.com.au/Bulgarian.
Поставен съм в затвор, без да съм извършил престъпление, сподели съвсем наскоро мой познат от Мелбърн. Да, това е усещането, което имат много хора тук, заради екстремните мерки на затваряне на града, предприети от премиера на Виктория Дениел Ендрюс. Нека само спомена. Затваряне на бизнесите, наскоро отмененият полицейски час, забрана на събирания на хора, 5 км лимит на отдалечаване от дома, само 2 часа извън дома, носене на маски навсякъде. Към това трябва да прибавим и глоби от 5000 долара за неспазване на повечето правила. Нещата стават още по-странни, като добавим, че всички тези мерки се налагат на 6,5 милиона души при средно 10 нови случая на ден и смъртност, забележете, от 0,08% от всички тествани. На фона на тези данни човек неизбежно си задава въпроса: наистина ли са здравословни съображенията за парализиране на Мелбърн? Защо премиера Ендрюс, който казва, че стриктно се придържа към съвети на здравни експерти, не чуе съвета на Световната здравна организация от тази седмица? Доктор Дейвид Набаро, висш представител на СЗО, тази седмица даде интервю за британското списание The Spectator, където каза, че Световната здравна организация апелира към световните лидери да не използват блокиране на своите държави и икономики като основен метод за контрол и предотвратяване на разпространението на COVID-19. Според доктор Набаро, единственият резултат от блокирането на страните и икономиките е нанасене на непоправими щети и постигане на повсеместна бедност.
We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer. Awful lot poorer.
Това не спря обаче премиерът Дениел Ендрюс да обяви, че удължаването на извънредното и на бедственото положение до 8 ноември е най-подходящото действие, което следва обстойните съвети на специалисти от общественото здравеопазване. Много интересен и много опасен за Виктория контраст с съветите на специалистите от Световната здравна организация. Решението на премиера е в противоречие не само със световните експерти. Група от 500 австралийски медицински експерта призоваха блокирането на Виктория да приключи незабавно. В отворено писмо до премиера Ендрюс, 500-те лекари твърдят, че мерките, наложени от него заради COVID-19, причиняват огромни здравословни вреди, като увеличаване на проблемите с психичното здраве, спад в грижите за хронично и терминално болните и много други. Промените, които австралийските лекари искат да наложат, включват премахването на правилото за 5 км, отварянето на спортните клубове, разрешаване на посещения по домовете и в заведения за възрастни хора, като това не изключва спазване на социална дистанция и добра хигиена. В интервю за програмата Sunrise на телевизионен канал 7, доктор Ейман Матисън, един от здравните експерти, подписали писмото, изрази дълбоката си загриженост за здравето на викторианците.
I think there's been a massive collateral damage in the health and mental health spaces in particular due to the lockdowns. There are a growing number, a very large number of doctors who are gravely concerned about the impacts of these lockdowns, and we are calling for them to cease. We believe that they are disproportionate and unscientific. We have the evidence to back this up, and we will be presenting that on our new website, and we are calling for more doctors to join us. Our position is in line with the World Health Organization. It's also in line with the leading epidemiologists and infectious disease doctors around the world who are calling for the end of lockdowns immediately, and that lockdowns are not the way to manage quarantine. It never has been the position of the World Health Organization. And the way that you do public health is not to focus or have a fixation on one condition to the exclusion of all others. So that we would argue that we're in communication with these leading experts, not only in Australia but all around the world, and they agree with us and they disagree with the president of the Australian Medical Association. He's welcome to his opinion, but he does not represent the opinions of most doctors, the majority of doctors, and perhaps I would argue that I'd like to know whether he represents the majority opinion of his own members.
Силно аргументирано правно оспорване на валидността на блокирането на Мелбърн от премиера Даниел Ендрюс беше внесено в Върховния съд на Австралия на фона на нарастващото безпокойство на бизнеса заради очакваното продължаване на строгите ограничения след 19 октомври. Известната фигура от хотелиерската индустрия Джулиан Гърна стои зад съдебното предизвикателство и е ангажирал адвокатите от висока класа Бред Уокър, SC и Майкъл Уайлс, QC, да го представят. Господин Гърнър задава въпрос дали ограниченията, като правилото за 5 км и разрешителните за работа, са пропорционален отговор на заплахата от коронавирус и дали не противоречат на конституционните права за свободно движение при разумно предприемане на лични, семейни и търговски дейности, които са неделима част от нормалния живот на австралийците. Да, именно нормалния живот на австралийците бе необяснимо и неоправдано отнет на мелбърнчани. Затова все повече граждани на града, независимо от денонощните усилия на полицията, въстават срещу наложените им неоправдани с нищо ограничения. Постоянство и креативност отличават изразните средства, чрез които хората изразяват несъгласието си с COVID-мерките. Протестите са неординарни, както неординарна е и ситуацията, в която сме поставени. През седмицата на много места над главните пътища и магистрали в Мелбърн можеше да се видят плакати с размери от над 4 метра с надпис Free Victoria. После през града премина автобус, облепен с огромен портрет на премиера Ендрюс и с надписи Let us out! Don't throw us under the bus. В събота, 10 октомври, в синьото небе над Мелбърн летеше малък едномоторен самолет, който дърпаше огромен плакат с надписа SAC Dan Andrews Scrap Omnibus. Същата тази събота бях на плажната ивица в Сен Килда, където много млади хора се бяха събрали на групи от по 5 човека на пикник в очертаните от общината кръгове на тревата, за да се спазва необходимата социална дистанция. В един от тези кръгове се бяха настанили 4-5 момчета и момичета. Те седяха върху един от огромните плакати с надпис Free Victoria. Попитах ги каква е тяхната кауза и какво е посланието им към Даниел Ендрюс.
Free Victoria. We want the restrictions lifted. We don't want to be kept in lockdown and most importantly, we want the businesses, our local businesses to open. We need the services. We need it to happen now.
Do you feel you're supported by the people in Melbourne about how urgent and how important it is to open the city?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone you speak to in Melbourne, my opinion is I think they feel intimidated. That's why they're not speaking up. A couple of weeks ago, the fines were around $1,400. The Andrews government has now increased it to $5,000. And people just don't feel safe or just don't feel it's worth it coming out and having a voice. And we're out here because we feel very strongly about our civil liberties. And we just feel like what's happening in Victoria is disproportionate. We have, I think yesterday we had 7 or 8 cases, active cases. Most of them are traceable. And it's ridiculous that we have everyone locked down in Victoria before that. I've been lucky enough to be in building construction. I've worked through the pandemic, but I know a lot of people that haven't. And I've been personally affected by someone who has taken their own life directly related to the lockdowns. I work close to Carlton where all the restaurants are closed down. And those people are really suffering. And Victoria needs to take a look at it and just say, look, what are the ongoing effects going to be of this pandemic? We're hearing about the statistics of numbers of deaths and so forth, but what is the flow-on effect going to be of these lockdowns with regard to depression and suicide and self-harm and domestic violence and everything else? These mental health issues may not show their face at the moment, but they can surface as post-traumatic stress syndrome later on, 2 or 3 years down the track. This needs to be proportionate, and the actual percentage of people dying from COVID-19, particularly in our age group, is so minimal. And to have the whole state locked down, which is not in line with the other states of Australia around the world, is horrendous in our view. And we've been in the longest lockdown, stage 4 restrictions, for so long. I always question, before the pandemic actually even came to Australia, the statistics that were out there that it was going to affect a certain age group, okay, and that was the elderly. The resources that we put at that were insufficient and it was negligent. All the aged care facilities, they weren't managed correctly. There's people coming in and out. There was no PPE being worn. As it's turned out, they're the ones that have been affected. And if you have a look at the people that have died in Victoria, the majority have been elderly people, and we love our elderly and we feel they've really been let down by the Victorian government. And Dan Andrews, he made a grave errors for this second wave of coronavirus due to the hotel quarantine disaster, and I just don't feel he's been held accountable for it. Keeps getting pushed aside and pushed aside and pushed aside. But during that second wave, after the inquiry came out and basically said he was responsible for the deaths of 768 people, and I just don't feel that he's been held accountable for that. And why should he now be in power still?
The way you put it, it looks like they're saving lives with other lives. Is that justifiable?
I don't think so. I think it's trade-off that perhaps they don't have the right to make. The idea that one person is going to die, so therefore we'll offer what is effectively a sacrifice of another person. When you take away someone's agency, someone's right to work, someone's right to look after their family, I felt that at the start of the pandemic. I lost my job for 5 months. My wife was pregnant at the time. And the feelings of absolute despair that came across me at the time is phenomenal. And just the feelings of loneliness and everything that comes over you as a result of that, I found meaning eventually fighting against that and realizing that, yeah, I have to stand up. I can't live in a world like this. Need to move forwards. So that was really important for me to do something. And that's what I've been doing for months now.
Do you have a message to Daniel Andrews? Do you have a message to state politicians, to the federal politicians?
For all of them, yeah. I don't think Daniel Andrews is alone here. I think there's a federal tactic is at play here. And I think they need to release the modelling. They need to let us know what is the cost-benefit analysis of this, because that's never actually been fully released. We've been told that we have to do this. There is no other option. But we know, looking around the world, that there is another option. There are many countries who are opting for more lax approaches and finding a balance. And I don't think we have that in Australia. We've gone into this this police state. There's no joy. There's nothing good about this. And it needs to stop.
We're here in the park, sitting down, having a drink, having a laugh, having a chat with our friends. And all we actually really do, we're on heightened alert. The police are walking past. Are they going to ask us our name, where we're from? Are we just going to be questioned everywhere we go? We can't relax. Unless you're in your home, the minute you step out onto that street, you just can't relax.
You feel threatened, intimidated.
100%. My interest in this movement came probably 3 or 4 weeks ago when there was a rally at the Shrine of Remembrance. That's my general way I go to work, which I was going to work that particular day. And there was such a heavy police presence and intimidation. I walked through there and got assaulted by police on that particular day, thinking that, you know, we had the right to speak and so forth. I went in front of a channel camera and said, you know, I think what Dan Andrews is doing wrong and I feel it's incompetent and so on and so forth. I got asked to move on, which I did. I hit a point within the Shrine where we got held up because there was an issue going on with police. I offered my permit to work, so on. I had the right to be there. And before I got the chance to actually pull that evidence out, I was tackled by police. And I sat there for 2 hours handcuffed as a member of the public of Victoria. And I sat there for 2 hours handcuffed with a dislocated shoulder. And I spent the night at the Alfred Hospital. Now, the place that's quite significant to me personally, you know, with my grandfather fighting and dying in World War II for our freedom, it became quite personal. I actually reflected on it when I was sitting there handcuffed with a dislocated shoulder, looking at the Shrine and just going, where are we now at in this country, in this state? I feel like I'm being suppressed. I feel like my freedoms have been taken away. And I went home that night and I thought of my grandfather and I just thought, was that in vain, what he fought for me? And from that time, I've decided to make a stand and say, no, this is not what this country was built on. And as I said, what Dan Andrews is doing is not proportionate. I feel the severe restrictions that have come into play now are a result of his negligence during the hotel quarantine. And now everyone here in Victoria is suffering from that. And I just don't think it's fair. And we're here today enjoying little freedom that we get. And I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it.
Докато взимах интервюто, над нас кръжаха полицейски хеликоптери, а полицаи заплашващо патрулираха наоколо. Това смути някои от присъстващите и те бързо се разпръснаха. Когато се върнаха да продължим разговора, в очите им беше онази тревога, така позната от местата с тоталитарни режими. Страх да изразиш различно мнение. Страх, че полицията винаги има право да намери нещо, в което да те обвини, да те глоби или даже арестува. И всичко това се случваше в Австралия, известна с демокрацията си, със свободата и толерантността си. Когато всички се поуспокоиха, попитах ги как виждат изхода от това положение.
I think there needs to be a more reasoned debate on this, and I think that they need to release the justification for what they've done so that we can have the discussion. And I think, unfortunately, one of the things that they've clung on to is this idea that a lot of epidemiologists have estimated that 150 to 250,000 Australians would die from this, right? However, looking around the world, I think we can very clearly see that that's not true, given the advances that we've had in caring for this disease. We need to look at who we're killing by shutting down people's right to work, by shutting down their economic means. And not just in Australia, I think this is a global problem. There's going to be some fairly serious knock-on effects around the poorer developing countries of the world that will absolutely dwarf whatever happens here. And I think that just doesn't get discussed at all in the calculus that they're making. How long are we going to sit here with shut borders for, closed off from the rest of the world? We'll have zero virus or close to zero while it teams through the rest of the world. I believe the WHO estimated that there's something like 750 million infections worldwide. So everybody's got it, except for a lot of us and New Zealand, and I believe some provinces in China. And that's it. We're the outliers.
I think there's been a serious failure by the government, particularly in relation to, you know, contact tracing, that sort of thing, the way that's been managed. You know, the Victorian government took their own stance on that as to how they were going to manage that particular situation. And we went against what New South Wales went. We went out on our own accord on that, and it's failed badly. Now that we're bringing in their model of contract tracing, I think, you know, is going to play a big role. Do I think these numbers are going to go 0 to 5? No, I don't think so. You know, I think this, regardless of these strict lockdowns, it's going to be around. So I think, you know, heavy contract tracing. And I also think we need to put our focus and all our energy and all our money into the people that it's actually affecting, which we should have done from day one. And that's the elderly people. Put your resources in there and proportionately open up the economy with people like ourselves who have a very minimal chance of actually dying from this disorder. So I think it's a combination of both solid tracing and also more focus on those who are actually being being affected, which I think has been negligible at best with the way they've handled aged care. I think it's terrible.
We need to look at the bill, purely economic terms. We need to look at the bill for this. We've spent somewhere around the $400 billion mark tackling this disease.
So far,
and that will continue to rise. What could we have done with that money? What creative solutions could we have come up with, like to shield the elderly, and in fact those who want to be shielded? But the reality is, we still, just as of last week, we still had a security guard who was going between a hot hotel and a hospital. This is 7 months in and they're still doing that. They're thoroughly incompetent. And all they can think to do is how the police is further. He's got one thing on his mind, which is to restrict the movement and the liberty of Victorians, and that will somehow equal less virus. It's medieval. It's barbaric. This is not conducive of 2020. Like, we should be so much further than this.
Open us up. Like, open the general public up. Open the cafes. Open the hairdressers. Open all of the services that people need daily. People are suffering because of this lockdown, because of the statistics and of the people that are affected by this and are dying. There's no reason why the rest of the general public cannot open up. He talks about it being safe. It is safe. We are safe right now. If you feel like you might be at risk, wear your mask, take whatever precautions you need to take, and keep living our lives. That's what we need to do. We need to live with the virus. He does talk about this, but we're not doing it. So let's open up. Let's live with the virus like everyone else in this country and around the world. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving.
Около половин час след като си бях тръгнала от мястото на интервюто на плажа в Сент Килда, получих SMS от един от интервюираните, че полицията отново е дошла и този път е задържала двама от младежите заради плаката Free Victoria. Да, полицията явно е винаги права. Бях потресена, но и много тъжна. Духът на Мелбърн, най-добрия за живот град в света, вече повече от 6 месеца е окован в веригите на политическо безумие.
Поделете, коментирайте. Следете SBS на български във Facebook.